Are you ready, Flyer fans? It's the Archie Miller Show, presented by Bud Light and live from Frickers on Woodman Drive in Dayton. Tonight's show is brought to you by Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens. Frickers, for over 30 years, has been the home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. Premier Health is proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. First Florist, Dayton's choice for special occasions since 1905. And by Flyer Spirit. Stop on over to Flyer Spirit on Brown Street and show off your Flyer pride. Go UD. The Archie Miller Show on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Now, here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome to Frickers here on Woodman Drive, and welcome to the Archie Miller Show here on the home of the Flyers, as Dayton is now 18-3, 8-1 in the Atlantic 10, the midpoint of the A-10 season, with one game this week coming up at George Mason on Saturday, and coming off a pair of wins at the UD Arena last week, Wednesday over St. Louis, and then most recently Saturday over LaSalle. If you missed it earlier this afternoon, both the Associated Press and the ESPN USA Today coaches' polls came out, and they are in accord in that the Dayton Flyers are the number 24 team in the nation. First time in your time here at UD that, I mean, you have been in the rankings before, but have exited not to return until after the season was over. But now here in the season, for the second time, your players get recognized nationally for what they've accomplished so far. And you're going to poo-poo it. I don't care, but it's significant.
Well, I mean, I think the good thing about it is, as you move it into February, if you're being recognized in this sort of setting, then, one, you're relevant, and, two, you're having some consistency about you, and you're obviously playing well at a time when, you know, you want to start to be able to play well. And, you know, rankings aside, I'm just really pleased with the attitude of the team right now. I'm pleased with today's practice. I thought we had a great workout today, and I'm starting to see that vibe about us that you want to have at this time of year, where guys are still enjoying themselves and having a good time, and, you know, practice becomes fun. If you can make things fun for them at this time of year, and you can sort of take the pressure off of them and just worry about sort of doing your job every day, having a good time with it, keep working to get better, you know, all the other stuff will come with it. So, you know, it's a good time of year. It's a really fun time of year to be a college basketball player if you're relevant.
Well, you know what, because I was going to say, you're talking about this being a great time of year, and I am going to think that there are 50% of the coaches in America, if not more, that on a Monday night, whether they've got a radio show or if they're just sitting down to dinner with their family, they're saying, how can I get my guys through this next week? Gosh, this is tough.
Yeah, it's hard, and I think we've taken, you know, a lot of different approaches. I think the best approach that you can have, as crazy as this sounds, is to really trim things down from a practice standpoint, spend more time individually talking to them, spend more time individual instruction, skill instruction, shooting segments after practice. The more you can individualize your time with them at this time of year and make them feel good, confident as players, then you have a chance, I think, to have great attitude with guys, because they know you're still continuing to work with them to make them better.
How much of what you're doing right now and the success which has been manifest in an 18-3 record, 8-1 in conference, can be attributed to what you went through collectively as a program in January of 2014?
Everything's based on that month. I mean, really, is our whole philosophy is based on our experience in that month. You know, to be, I think, 1-5 in the month of January, whatever it would have been at that time, how were we able to dig ourselves out, or how did we find a way to salvage the month of February, even in halfway difficult circumstances? It really was about the individual guys feeling good about themselves. You know, sometimes when your team's lost confidence and they want to do well, it's just a couple guys, you know, starting to feel good about themselves to play the right way, and then it becomes a little bit contagious. And we've really stayed with that for now, I guess, you know, another year and a half, or another full season and a half, that be mindful of our guys' makeup mentally. Where are they at, and how do they feel, you know, in terms of the physicalness of what's going on? And I think it served us really well. You can play the game of we need to do this, that, and whatever, but if the guys mentally aren't ready, or they don't want to do certain things the right way, you're not going to get anything out of them anyway. So to us, it's really, this time of year is a fun time for the coaches, because we get to spend a lot of individual time with them.
My colleague David Jablonski of the Dayton Daily News does a great job of capturing visual images of this basketball team. And some of them are great action shots of dunks and big plays. But maybe one of the most memorable pictures of the week was prior to the St. Louis game, before the team even came out on the floor. They were in the tunnel. They were literally arm in arm. They were smiling. They were laughing. They were glad to be there.
Yeah, I mean, our pregame routine has taken a life of its own. And as a coach, one of the things you're always worried about is how are we ready to approach the game? Do we have energy? Are the guys lethargic? And, you know, we have great energy prior to games. They go through their routine. They can sing and dance all they want for all I care. But, you know, when they're ready to hit that floor, if they're together and they're feeling good about each other, you know, that's a positive sign.
Dayton Flyers are 18-3, 8-1 in the Atlantic 10. We're at the midpoint of the A-10 season. And you know what? A lot of challenges are right ahead of this team. The next one is going to be coming up Saturday on the road at George Mason. Of course, we'll talk about the Patriots coming up here in the Archie Miller Show. Also, the Bud Light mic available for our folks here at Frickers on Woodman Drive, and wherever you are in Flyer Nation, you can give us a call at 457-1290, and we'll be glad to talk Dayton basketball with you on this Monday night of the Archie Miller Show. You know, we talked right after Saturday's win over LaSalle, you know, a 59-44 victory, and you know, fans are normal. I'm not throwing rocks at fans, but it's so easy. You just get caught up in offense, offense, offense. Is a team making shots? If a team is making shots, they look great. But you know what? This week, you hold an opponent under 20 points and a half. And you hold an opponent under 50 points in a game, a six-game winning streak where the offense, true, has not always been there. The shots have not always fallen. But I don't know that you've played six games of more consistent defense than we've seen over this stretch.
Yeah, I think our guys are really, you know, they continue to buy into what we're doing. And I think the strength of this team is our depth and our quickness on defense. I think we have some veteran guys who really understand our system, and we have less breakdowns. And as Steve and some of our other guys, Charles and Daryl, have, you know, gotten more experience under their belt, we're getting better. And I think that our defense is something that travels, you know, and if you can carry your defense and you have an attitude that you have to compete and play hard and give great effort, then you're always going to have a chance. And yes, our offense has been spotty at times, lapses, carelessness, but I also think our offense a little bit, you know, is really good making shots when our defense is forcing the action. You know, we're able to get in transition, we're able to get numbers, we're able to get those drives and kicks and one mores. And so the better we are on defense, in my opinion, the better we'll be on offense. And I think we're going to become a better half-court offensive team in the second half of the league, because I think we've really cleaned some things up. We've seen a lot of zone, and we really addressed our zone offense today. I thought in LaSalle we just had some really poor spacing when the ball went to the logo area, where we didn't create a decision for those big guys in the zone to play, which one do I choose? We sort of allowed them to play too, because our spacing in and around the basket was too close to one another. So hopefully, you know, you get that stuff created. But from a defensive standpoint, we have to have it in check every game to be successful, and our guys know that.
Dayton Flyers 18-3 on the road at George Mason Saturday. We'll be talking about that as we continue in the Archie Miller Show. Also, Dayton's got a pretty good set rotation right now. So what are the freshmen doing this time of year? We'll tell you, and we continue live from Frickers on Woodman Drive.
The Archie Miller Show, live from Frickers on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
What if you could get the very best food from all around the country with the guaranteed lowest prices? Oh, and what if it's all shipped directly to your door, absolutely free? Well, rejoice, food lovers. DirectEats.com is here. DirectEats gives every consumer the freedom to find the best food at the best prices based on their diet, taste, or needs. That's because at DirectEats.com, the whole country is your supermarket. There's no membership fees, so give it a try. Just go to DirectEats.com and place your order today. DirectEats.com is the largest online natural and organic superstore. From locally made barbecue sauces to an array of nut-free, paleo, gluten-free, or anything and everything in between, the options go on and on. At DirectEats, they have over 20,000 food products at the guaranteed lowest prices, and they ship them absolutely free right to your door. There's no membership fee. So why not get started on your next food adventure? Stop by directeats.com today. That's directeats.com.
Premier Health is proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Our team of board-certified sports medicine and orthopedic physicians, certified athletic trainers, and rehabilitation specialists are dedicated to keeping athletes healthy and in play. And as the official sports medicine provider for 48 area schools, we lead the region in caring for student athletes, preventing injuries from happening, repairing them if they do. It's just another way that Premier Health is leading with care. Learn more at premierhealth.com/sportsmed.
The new year is here, and you're making resolutions to improve your life and the lives of those you love. First things first, make this the year you give more flowers, and the first place to turn to is First Florist, the Dayton area's choice since 1905. Warm the hearts of those you care about. Go to firstflorist.com and discover beautiful flower arrangements specially designed for your loved ones. Come to First Florist's beautiful showroom at 1306 Troy Street in Old North Dayton and feast your eyes on flowers and gifts. Call 223-1213 to order and deliver. Go Flyers, go First.
Three serious topics made very funny. Love, sex, and the IRS is now playing at La Comedia Dinner Theater. Log on to WHIO.com and go to the contest page for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the show. Contest ends soon. No purchase necessary to win.
The Watson's Winter Warm-Up Sale is on now. Right now, all 2015 floor model spas are discounted up to $3,500 off. Warm up and save 30 to 70% off on wood stoves, fireplaces, gas logs, and more. Finish your game room with a designer plank and high pool table or shuffleboard. Now 20 to 40% off, or an Italian leather sofa starting at only $9.99. Plus, receive 24 months special financing. Watson's style, Watson's price, the Watson's home store.
I discovered Optimus when I lost my leg due to diabetes. It's a place where they care about people and they care about the individual person. Now that I have my prosthetic, I'm able to interact with my grandkids and they come over, we play in the yard or come to the park. My life has improved. It's a lot better. I walk a lot better. I just got better confidence in myself. I would say I jumped for joy, but I didn't do no jumping, but I did have a good time. I just think that Optimus is awesome.
Mainly clear skies tonight, a few clouds toward morning. Can't rule out a little patchy fog overnight as well. I'm Chief Meteorologist Eric Elwell on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
You're listening to The Archie Miller Show on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back to The Archie Miller Show. Welcome back to Frickers here on Woodman Drive, your home of fun food, sports, and spirits. And The Archie Miller Show every Monday night. We talk Dayton basketball 7 to 8, and we enjoy it. 18-3, 8-1 in the Atlantic 10, and a lot of basketball left to be played, and that's the beautiful thing about this time of year. Halfway through the A-10 season, Dayton in second place, just a game behind VCU, and a half game ahead of St. Joseph's, so two teams at Dayton yet to play in this season, and you know those games are looming up very large. But the thing about this team, Coach, is I think that it has done a very good job of focusing on the task at hand, and really not maybe not so much concerning themselves with opponents as opposed to saying, okay, maybe they don't even know who they play Saturday. They'll figure it out when they get the scouting report. But really it's about, okay, how can they be a better team Saturday than they were this past Saturday?
Yep, and I'll be honest with you. You know, I look at the first LaSalle game as a real moment of truth for our team in terms of how we would respond and what we needed to do moving forward to, you know, to get ourselves up off the mat and get better. And we actually stopped talking about the other team. I mean, we've done less scouting this year than we've ever done. We've practiced shorter amounts of segments in practice dealing with the other team than we ever have, because I don't feel like this team, for whatever reason, its makeup really needs to think about anything else but doing what we need to do. If we just do what we do every day, because that's what you're going to be built on in the game is your habits, we got to get extra special attention to what we do every day. And don't even concern yourself with who we play or how they play. And yes, there's scouting. Yes, there's personnel. Yes, there's keys to the game. But there's also, if you just do the things we do well every day, you're gonna have a chance. And I think for whatever reason, as we move into this back nine, we will not talk about George Mason until maybe even Thursday night. And we're going to really stick to our guns this week in terms of cleaning our stuff up, working at our stuff, playing our style, having guys, you know, do the things we need them to do in a game to be successful within the framework of offense, defense. And there's nothing that George Mason could do on Saturday, you know, that's really going to be that monumentally different than what we've seen in the last 20-some games. So we just know how to adjust and play on the fly.
All right, so you've already talked about the fact that, you know, your practices are a little bit shorter. Your individual sessions maybe are a little bit more numerous. And you've got almost an 8-to-9-man rotation going right now. And really the only guy that's a part of the regular mix is John Crosby, is the only true backup to Scoochie Smith. But you've got some talented freshmen over there, Ryan Mikesell, Zarius Williams, yep. Sam Miller. What are those guys doing right now when they are really not seeing the court a lot? First of all, what's their mindset? And second of all, what are they doing to get better?
Well, I'll tell you what we've done, and I think that we did this, you know, pretty much after our George Washington game when we were full, our first game in a while, we had the full allotment of guys ready to go, is that when we went up to St. Bonaventure and then we went to Fordham and that rotation stayed kind of tight, it was very apparent that from a mental makeup, from a physical makeup standpoint, those four guys needed to be treated differently. And what I mean by that is the attention that they're getting right now is above and beyond the call of, hey, we show up for practice and we go home. Each of those guys right now, at least two times a week, are working 45 minutes a day individually with the coaches. All four freshmen today worked for 45 straight minutes on individual instruction before our practice even started today. And I tell you, I've been so impressed with their attitude. I've been so impressed with how hard they've worked. John Crosby's workout today was a fall workout. It wasn't an in-season workout. That's how hard he was going. I think Sam, in his last week of practice, has played as well as he's played all year. Now, is that going to translate in them earning minutes? It is. And I'll also tell you this, I won't be surprised that all over the next 3 or 4 weeks that each and every one of those guys doesn't get in there and help us win a game when it matters the most, when things just aren't going well, or fouls or sickness or trouble or injuries. They got to be ready. And for them to be ready, they have to be sharp. And I think right now, the way we're preparing them to be sharp is really working with them one-on-one.
How important is it that they're not sitting on that bench during the course of a game, not understanding, not knowing why, yeah, not wondering what's going on, or just questioning?
Yeah, they're engaged right now, and they've done a nice job. You know, like I said, there's going to be sacrifices made when Deshaun came back. Part of what's been sacrificed is our front court changed that dramatically. You know, you have a guy playing 35 minutes a game now who wasn't here, and you have Kendall and Steve sort of have been there, and that's a nice little three-man rotation. I see Zarius and Sam being able to help contribute to those guys when duty is needed, so to speak. And Ryan Mikesell's had a great attitude all year long. He's been great, and you know, I need to get him in there more and more, and you want to play everybody, but at the same time, like I've been saying, I won't sacrifice us being at our best at the end of the season and as most cohesive we can just to try and get a guy a two-minute window or whatever. That's not what it's about, and they know that, and they had great workouts today. We had one of our best practices of the year today, and part of it was those four guys, they played well, you know, and I think that's a good sign.
You talk a little bit about what practice is going to be like this week, because this is your longest in-season break outside of final exams.
Yeah, we probably went about 95 minutes today, and that's with our end of practice shooting routine. So we were really on the floor today. I'd give it about an hour and 20 minutes. And, you know, Kendall and Deshaun are nursing injuries right now. Kendall's been banged up pretty much the whole month of January since his Achilles. He's dealing with a bone bruise right now on the outside of his leg that's really hampering him. So he won't practice or at least get on the floor again until Thursday. And Deshaun, just being able to deal with the nicks and bruises of being thrust in there, he's starting to feel the effects of the wear and tear that he wasn't there all year. So we gave him a day today. So we practiced without those two today. We'll get back at it tomorrow. We won't go any more than 90 minutes. We're going to give them a day off on Wednesday, and then Thursday we'll start ratcheting it back towards getting ready for George Mason, because after the Mason game, it's pretty much going to start coming like dominoes.
You mentioned the shooting drill at the end of practice. How many shots do your guys put up on a daily basis?
Oh, a lot. I mean, we record every shot that's taken. Today we did a competition drill. We call it 3 men, 2 balls. It goes for about 15 minutes, and it's a heavy competition where guys are shooting every shot that they possibly could shoot in the game. And they competed for points today, and the loser ran. So we actually shot and competed at practice. But I would say there's not a day that goes by that our players, each and every day, within a day of practice, even within sort of the framework, don't get up close to 100 to 150 shots up, you know, throughout the course of the day. And Daryl right now is working after practice, and he's making close to 150 after practice right now as well. So we take a lot of pride in our shooting. I think recording it is a big reason why. We show our guys how many they're making and what their percentages are.
You were given a compliment, although it isn't necessarily directed to you, by Mike Lonergan, the coach of George Washington, who after the game against the Colonials said that when James Madison played George Washington and they had a freshman named Charles Cook, that he was okay. And then he did what he did against the Colonials at the UD Arena, and he said, I had no idea the guy could shoot the ball that well.
Yeah, well, Charles has spent a lot of time on his shot, and a lot like Jordan Seibert did. When you have that year off, you can either take advantage of it or you can't. And we spent a lot of time with Charles on his footwork and his consistency, a lot like we did with Jordan. No real changes, but just you take a year and you really work on your shot. You know, you can get a lot of shots up, and I think Charles, as he's approached this season, has become just a really, really consistent guy from behind the line. He's got a great stroke, and he's got great confidence in his shot as well.
All right, let's head out to Bud Light Mike. Tom, step up. You got a question for Coach Miller.
Yeah. Hi, Coach. First of all, we got a couple new Flyer fans in the family. Grandkids. One of them born 2 weeks ago today. John Robert Canetano in Columbus, and then we also got Zoe Esther Horseman in Blue Ash.
Congrats.
At a year and a half.
Congrats.
And thank you. But I also wanted to ask you, how's Josh Cunningham doing? He's an energetic and excited guy out there at the beginning of the games, and pats everybody and puts his arm around guys that struggling a little bit, and looks like he's going to be a great Flyer.
Yeah, he's a tremendous kid. He's a great teammate. Has a great feel for the guys on the team, and you know he's basically almost 100% right now. He's basically been cleared to do all non-contact basketball. He's starting to lift upper body now and stuff. So the great thing about him is, as we approach towards the end of the season, as we get into March and April, he'll be ready to go full go in terms of his off season recovering from his injuries. But he's had a great impact, I think, in our locker room. I think he's had a great impact on our program, and I think those guys that we take as transfers are here for the right reasons. And I think Josh, you know, once he gets back in order here, he's going to be one of the more talented guys we have.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach.
All right, yep. Thank you. Any guy who says the weight room is his best friend, I like that guy. This is the Archie Miller Show, Dayton 18-3, 8-1 in the A-10 at George Mason Saturday. A lot more to talk about tonight on this Monday night at Frickers on Woodman Drive.
The Archie Miller Show, live from Frickers on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. On air, online at WHIO.com and in the WHIO app. The home of Fox News and the Miami Valley. Your news starts now.
Good evening. It's 7:30. I'm JT Zabel with an AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO news update. The countdown to the Iowa caucus is on. We have the details next.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Eric Elwell, tracking the chance for some patchy fog tonight and scattered storms tomorrow. A look at your forecast coming up.
From the AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO 24-hour team traffic center, the freeways are moving along fine, but fire crews are still on the scene of a barbecue on the 4200 block of West 3rd Street in Dayton. And now on to our top story at 7:30. In You Decide 2016, presidential candidates working overtime with less than an hour until the start of the Iowa caucuses.
There is not much time left to shake hands or ask voters for their support as the caucus gets underway at 7 p.m. Central Time all over Iowa.
And that's WHIO's Washington insider Jamie Dupree. And the Republican frontrunner Donald Trump has been in Iowa all day rallying his supporters.
This is the day we take our country back. Remember that. This is the day we take our country back.
And live coverage of the Iowa caucuses begins right after the coaches show, starting at 8.
Dayton's 24-hour news is AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Continuing news now.
A school bus's head-on collision with a car in Miami County last week has again raised the topic of adding seatbelts to school buses.
Retrofitting buses with seatbelts is pretty much out of the question, so a bill was introduced in Ohio back in 2014 to propose putting belts on new buses.
And that's WHIO's Natalie Jovanovich, who says nothing has been done to advance the bill since its introduction. And on to Springfield, where cops have raided a home and found a working meth lab. Bottles were being removed from the home on Lagonda at last check, as Ohio's Bureau of Criminal Investigation was also on the scene. And a Troy man appeared in court this morning facing a different kind of attempted robbery.
Troy police believe that David Winter called in a bomb threat at a local industry and a false bank robbery elsewhere in order to keep police away from the Abbey Credit Union. Winter this morning tells a judge in Miami County Municipal Court that he's innocent.
And that's WHIO's Steve Baker reporting. And now here's the exclusive Storm Center 7 forecast.
Mainly clear skies overnight, little patchy fog in spots late, down to 33 in the morning. So we'll start out with partly sunny skies Tuesday, some afternoon showers, and some evening thunderstorms. Some of those could be strong late in the day. Damaging winds, the primary threat Tuesday night, high near 60. I'm Chief Meteorologist Eric Elwell on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
And the latest scan of Live Doppler 7HD radar is clear. It's 37 in Springfield, 36 in Troy, and 39 right here in downtown Dayton at 7:33. If news breaks, we break in immediately. I'm JT Szabo on Dayton's home of the Flyers, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO, the home of Fox News. We report, you decide.
People often ask us what we do here at the United Way.
They make sure my child has an after-school place to go and learn.
They make sure people in need have meals delivered or available to them.
Help was available when we had a house fire.
They helped me with a resume so I can get a better job.
They made legal assistance available when I had limited income.
United Way invests in long-term solutions for the issues that you, the community, have told us are important. Be part of the solution. Give to the Live United Fund and learn more about what we do at liveuniteddayton.org.
Tom Michaels with University of Dayton Women's Basketball Update, brought to you by Belmont Business Consultants. Dayton Flyers down the Davidson Wildcats at UD Arena Sunday afternoon, 77-66. The win is Dayton's third in a row, improves the season record to 11-9 overall, 4-5 in conference play. Junior Christy Maciosi scored a career-high 70 points to lead all scores. She made all five of Dayton's three-point field goals. She was 5-7 from beyond the arc. Dayton will go back on the road to match up against Rhode Island, that on Sunday at 2 p.m.
You want to make sure your tax return is accurate and provide you with all the deductions you deserve. I'm Bruce Balfman of Belmont Tax Service. Now that you have your W-2 and the e-file season is open, it is a great time to get your taxes done. Maybe you expect a refund. Why not get your money sooner? At Belmont Tax Service, we do the complete job for you. We are conveniently located at 2718 Wayne Avenue in Dayton and 110 South Cherry Street in Eaton. Professional service at a very reasonable price. At Belmont Tax Service, call 252-2217 in Dayton, 472-3300 in Eaton.
You're listening to The Archie Miller Show on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back to The Archie Miller Show. Welcome back to Frickers on Woodman Drive as the Dayton Flyers now 18-3, 8-1 in the A-10. Midway point of the conference season with a game coming up Saturday at George Mason. Flyers number 24 this week in both the AP and the USA Today coaches poll. Second time this season the Flyers have been ranked, and that is significant. It's not happened here for a long time, and is certainly an indication of what this team has accomplished. I mean, if you're in the polls in November, it's a beauty contest, you know, but if you're in the polls in February, it means you've been out on stage, you've twirled the baton, you've played the glasses, whatever type of talent they do at a beauty contest. It's now about talent. It's not just about beauty, and this Dayton team is playing well. And in the most recent win over LaSalle on Saturday, and I think that it's important to point out to the fans just what a fine line there is between success and a lack of success, and a big lack of success, because I look at a LaSalle team that has struggled this year, only one win in conference play and only five wins overall, and they've got three guys sitting on their bench. Transfers are going to be available next year. They have everybody back next year, including a really good big man, I think, in Tony Washington, and a couple of good guards. Shuler, I think, is a really good point guard back there. They could be a good team next year when they are not right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just players, you know, and Coach Giannini's probably one of the guys in this league that I like the most. He's a good guy, and you know, he's always been really, really good to us, regardless of the teams he's had we've competed against. He's always gave us great credit, and I think he's a really good coach. But they've been struck with just the injury bug, and they've only had six, seven players available as the season goes, and it wears you down in terms of being able to keep your guys positive after a loss. And you string a couple losses together, the next thing you know, things don't feel real good. But they got three really good guys sitting out. They bring everybody back, and I will tell you that if that all crew was all put together, they have a chance to be an upper echelon team in our league with a guy like Price who can score. I think Tony Washington's as good as there is in terms of a big guy inside. And then you add a couple key guys off the bench that next year will be coming off the bench rather than starting. They're a lot deeper. So it just goes to show you, man, it's about having players and it's about having depth and it's about making guys better as the years go along.
Yeah, and you mentioned getting better, because it's not necessarily that you've got to go get someone to get better, that you've got to go wait for that transfer to become eligible, or you've got to go out and sign this incredible freshman to get better. I look at the team that's nipping at your heels, St. Joe's. You know, they had Bembry back. We all knew he was a great player, potential player of the year candidate, and all of a sudden Miles is, you know, they've got another guy that was just kind of there, and then now he's having a huge season.
Yeah, I think, you know, St. Joe's, Coach Martelli does a good job, and they probably have, you know, if not the best player in our conference in Bembry. He's right up there. And what's happened is, you know, the opportunity as you get older, you know, you get windows to play. And, you know, Isaiah Miles, who's a terrific shooting big guy, has now become one of the most prominent, dominant players in our league. Now they have a 1-2 punch, and, you know, he does a great job with his other guys of mixing and matching. And I think, to me, to be honest with you, St. Joe's, you know, coming off a season last year where they weren't as good with about the same players.
Yeah.
You know, they've recreated themselves. And, you know, to me, St. Joe's is pushing towards the top of the league and hopefully an NCAA tournament bid for our league.
So Isaiah Miles would be an excellent candidate to be the Chris Daniels Award winner, as the most improved player in the league. The guy who won the award for you last year had, after a couple of quiet games, had two big games for you last week. And, of course, that's Kendall Pollard.
Yeah, Kendall, I think coming off the Fordham game, just was looking for answers, searching for, you know, why am I not playing as well as I can? I mean, I'm not even close to being the player I am, and why? And, you know, I think with a very long conversation, you know, on Monday with him, getting him to think about some things that he needs to do well, good things will happen. And lo and behold, Kendall's turned into the Kendall we all know and love. You know, he's been productive on the glass. Seven offensive rebounds total in last week's games. One offensive rebound in seven games going into him. It's just a mindset of being more active and controlling what you can control. When you're active and you control what you can control, good things happen. You know, he gets to the foul line close to 20 times last week. And I think, you know, moving forward, he knows as well as I do that for us to have a chance to be the best we can be, he's got to be like that every game. And I think he understands that.
Which was the thing that really resonated for him, that, you know, in being very blunt, that his playing time was not being limited by the return of Deshaun Pierre or the emergence of Steve McElvain. His playing time was being limited by him.
Yeah, fouling, you know, unnecessary fouls was one thing. And then I just felt like at times, you know, he wasn't being as aggressive or smart as he needed to be on offense. And, you know, we got him back going here. But, you know, I think all these guys are the same. Each and every guy here goes through those moments in a season where they feel sorry for themselves. A lot of it has to do with, why am I not scoring, you know? Why am I not getting as many points as I should get? And it's so hard to train guys to think about not thinking about themselves, because it's just natural.
Do you have one guy, if you could pick, is there one guy on this team that at the end of the night doesn't care whether he scored a basket or not?
Yeah, we have a bunch of those guys. I mean, we really do. I think Kyle Davis could care less if he scored a basket in the game. I actually think Steve is as happy as any guy after a game, especially if we win. Very few times do you see Steve down because he didn't get a bucket or whatnot. And I think some of these other guys, you know, genuinely think they need to score to be effective. And I think that's where you have to change their mindset with that, in terms of, are you doing what we're asking you to do? Because if you are, you're going to play well. And, you know, when you start to see guys making the hustle plays like Kyle, you start to see Kendall rebounding, you know they're engaged and doing the right things. And if we could ever get all of them at one time engaged, that's when you have a chance to be real good.
Is it safe, and speaking about Kyle, is it safe to say when he makes baskets, it's not because he wants to score, it's because he wants to win?
Yeah, it's very, very – the correlation that Kyle scoring points has everything to do with his activity level on the floor. You know, usually he's in transition or he's causing problems in transition from defense to offense. He gets a couple layups or he gets fouled. And I thought that last week he made two really big threes just because he was so engaged in the game. And when he shot it, you almost looked at it and you said, that's going in, because he was really ready to shoot the ball and not thinking about anything else. Kyle had a really good day on Saturday, and I can't even remember the St. Louis game after now, but I thought, you know, he was really ready to play on Saturday.
Well, the Dayton Flyers have been ready and have played well through a six-game winning streak that takes them into a game on Saturday at George Mason, and then that kicks off the second half of the A-10 schedule. Flyers 8-1 in the A-10. 9 games to go, 18-3 overall, number 24 this week in both the polls, and a lot more to talk about on this Monday night. The Archie Miller Show, live at Frickers on Woodman Drive.
Archie Miller Show, live from Frickers on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
For Good News in Dayton, this is Dave Donaldson, Regional President for WesBanco Bank. For the past 20 years, I have known Randy Pavlik, Sugar Creek Township Fire Chief, as a friend, business professional, and volunteer. After 40 years of public service, Randy is retiring next month. The special sacrifices that our first responders make to ensure the safety and well-being of the communities they serve make them very special people. Our police, fire, paramedics, 911 technicians all have to be available 24 hours each day and are highly trained to handle any crisis. Regardless of the weather, the event, or conditions, they are the people that we rely on in an emergency. They miss out on family events, lose sleep, and sacrifice personally to make sure that when we call, a professional is on their way to help. For over 40 years of selfless service to our community, thank you for all you have done, and enjoy your retirement, Randy. To all of our first responders that stand ready to help whenever needed, you are Good News for Dayton.
Good News in Dayton is brought to you by Grunder Landscaping Company, Park & Go Airport Parking, and WesBanco Bank. For more info, visit goodnewsindayton.com.
Own a business but baffled by digital marketing? You have to be there, but how? Introducing the all-new Cox Digital Marketing, a company you know with proven results. Right now, we can create a full report of your website, plus even audit your competition. Then, our digital media experts will work with you to create a custom digital marketing plan. Start today at coxdigitalmarketing.com. Proud to have Google's premier partner endorsement, their highest honor. Cox Digital Marketing, trusted custom solutions.
Do you know the score regarding your personal finances? Your credit score, that is. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling wants you to get in the game, know your credit score, and understand how to improve it. The NFCC can help request your credit report and explain what the numbers, terms, and abbreviations all mean. Their certified counselors can also advise you on sound financial practices that can help improve your score. For more information about credit reports, call the NFCC at 1-800-388-2227. This has been a public service message from the NFCC.
The new year is here, and you're making resolutions to improve your life and the lives of those you love. First things first, make this the year you give more flowers, and the first place to turn to is First Florist, the Dayton area's choice since 1905. Warm the hearts of those you care about. Go to firstflorist.com and discover beautiful flower arrangements specially designed for your loved ones. Come to First Florist's beautiful showroom at 1306 Troy Street in Old North Dayton, and feast your eyes on flowers and gifts. Call 223-1213 to order and deliver. Go Flyers, go First.
The WHIO Storm Center, staffed with the most powerful weather team in Dayton.
Cars stuck all over the Miami Valley.
Our Storm Center 7 team is on duty 24-7.
Snow, sleet, and freezing rain.
We will interrupt programming with severe weather warnings at least every 15 minutes and continuous coverage where warranted.
Just a mess right now.
AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO is Dayton's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic on WHIO.com and the WHIO app. We'll be right back.
Mainly clear skies tonight, a few clouds toward morning. Can't rule out a little patchy fog overnight as well. I'm Chief Meteorologist Eric Elwell on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
You're listening to The Archie Miller Show on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back to Frickers here on Woodman Drive. Welcome back to The Archie Miller Show. We do this every Monday night. We talk Dayton basketball 7 to 8 as the Flyers are, believe it or not, just the midway point of the Atlantic 10 season. 8-1 in league play, 18-3 overall, number 24 in both polls at George Mason to kick off the second half of league play this Saturday. Bud Light Mike available for the folks here at Frickers. Step on up. Fire away. You got a question for Coach.
Hi, Coach and Larry. My name is John. It's one of the most exciting things I think about this year has been the non-conference strength of schedule. Right now you're number four. Number four. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
And not only that, but the success that you had there. How does that translate, the success you had the last several years, success this year, in scheduling big-time programs going forward? And when are we going to play Arizona?
The non-conference schedule here at Dayton is challenging. You know, one, we have a hard time getting Power Five, or what we would all call, you know, Power Five conference teams to come to the arena to play us at the arena, you know, and we have to go on the road almost every time exclusively to start a series to get here. But since we've had some success, I don't think that we're viewed by anyone as a game that you get no value out of winning or losing anymore. And when you play us, you know, quite frankly, it's a high RPI game at the end of the year. So we've been able to start to get those home and homes with Alabama and Vanderbilt, two in particular. We got this year. We finished up Arkansas this year, and we'll move forward and have a couple more next year. But I think the real key for us has been the bye games and the games that we've selected to play strategically. You know, those are the games that, you know, the Chattanooga, although, you know, I can, you know, go back and say I don't understand how we could lose to Chattanooga. Chattanooga's 18-3 right now. They're going to end up winning 25-plus games. And when you do that, when you play that team, you can only help yourself. Same with William and Mary. And the same with the other one would be North Florida, who I think is 18-5 right now. So that was a real key in this year's non-conference schedule. It wasn't even so much as the partnered-up series games. It was the game that we selected to play based on if we can beat a Chattanooga, William & Mary, and a North Florida. To me, those are all as good of wins, maybe even our conference, that we're going to get. And I think that's played a big role. In the Orlando tournament, sometimes you hit and miss in those tournaments where you end up getting a team that doesn't have a real good year, but they have a name. I think this year's, we have Iowa, Monmouth, and Xavier. You know, we hit the lottery with three huge games in terms of, you know, strength of schedule. So moving forward, though, we're going to continue to really try and amp up our non-conference, because I think as we've seen the fruits of it, you know, just in terms of strength of schedules and all the stuff that they look at as important for a non-conference bid, you know, sort of learned our lesson. Not that we weren't trying to schedule really hard a year ago, but there was a chance that we would have sat there and watched that television come across and we wouldn't have been in. And that would have been really mind-boggling to us at the time. So we really tried to amp it up this year to make sure of it, that we were ready.
All right, let's stay at the Bud Light. Mike, step on up, young man. You got a question for Coach?
Hi, my name's Trevor. When you guys faced against Chattanooga and you had some poor free throw shooting, how are you improving your players on your free throw shooting?
I wish I knew. We're still not shooting them very well. It's mental more than anything. We shoot the same we always have. We're doing a couple things right now with certain guys to get them focused in on swishing the ball. Guys are having to swish a certain amount of free throws a day, whether it's 25 swishes. You know, sometimes that takes you a couple hundred free throws, if you know what I mean. So we're just trying to make them concentrate more on, you know, the free throw rather than just shooting them, getting swishes. And you try to play as many games as you can with these guys without trying to play the mental game. But free throw shooting is so much about getting in a rhythm, making your first couple in a game every once in a while. You know, Kendall got off to a really good start. I think he made 8 of 12, you know, on Saturday. But we need the guys that are good shooters to be able to make them. I think Scooch and Charles and those guys going to the line, being able to step up and get two, is really important. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to get better because we're getting fouled a lot, which we like to do.
All right. Good question. Thanks for helping us out here on the Archie Miller Show. That's how it works here at Frickers on the Bud Light mic. We've also got phone lines available. We're going to head out to Kettering, maybe not too far from where we are here on Woodman Drive in Kettering, where Joe is standing by. Joe, you've got a question for Coach Miller.
I sure do. Thank you very much for taking my call. Coach, I think that John Cosby is such an exciting guard. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Johnny Davis when he played here at Dayton. But I was wondering how Scucci's doing. He seems to have been in a lull. I wonder if he's hurt or he's gotten down.
No. John really, really helped us on Saturday. I mean, his play on Saturday was very important for us winning the game, and he's getting better and better and better, and I think you're starting to see some of the signs that as his career unfolds that he's going to be a very aggressive guard for us. Scooch usually goes through a couple of these stretches during the year where mental fatigue takes its role, and I thought early on we asked him to do so much in the early part of the season, November and December, that it was almost inevitable that eventually he was going to lose his legs or lose sort of his sharpness, and I think had a great workout today. Day. He above all of the guys that I've ever been around, for whatever reason, he finishes really strong. He always has. And I think as we get ready to hit these next 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you'll start to see him really get back. Because as the bigger the games go, usually the better he is.
Yeah,
that's right. That's been his track record. I mean, I go to that stretch last year through the A-10 tournament. And then in the 3 games in the NCAA tournament.
He had a 7-game run where he was our best player.
Oh,
yeah. It wasn't close. I mean, we would not have advanced in the A-10 tournament or the NCAA tournament without him. And that's just a 7-game window in about a 10-day stretch.
Yeah.
So he can find his way, in short. But he knows we need him. And I think the big thing with Scooch, and I told him this today, is he can't pass up open shots. No, he's one of our better guys, and the minute he passes up an open one, that's just going to hurt us. It's going to put him in a situation where, you know, he's going to have to make a drive. And I think he's passing up 2 or 3 a game where it's an open catch and shoot shot that he can make. It's just he's doing a really nice job making guys better. He's playing better on ball defense than he's ever played in his career. I think what we're missing right now is just a consistent, probably watching him finish layups and getting the 10, 12, 14 points that he normally gets. But yeah. I have no concerns with him. His attitude's good. He's playing to win, and he'll be back.
All right, Joe, hey, thanks for the call, and thanks for joining us here on the Archie Miller Show again, live at Frickers on Woodman Drive. And you mentioned Scooch sometimes passing up an open shot, and for just the whole standpoint of sharing the basketball, do you feel like you guys maybe turned a corner? And I'm going to go all the way back to the New York trip. It was a New York trip. Olean first and then Fordham. Is that maybe when this team kind of turned the corner as far as really sharing the basketball?
Well, we really started talking about sharing the basketball as we approached Davidson. And I started to see, guys, we started to get some carryover. And sometimes when you want to, as hard as this may be, when you want to start sharing the ball, guys have to see themselves at times on film not passing. They have to see themselves missing guys, and the team has to see that as well. And I think what we started to get, we've got guys thinking about one another, and that led into George Washington. And then I think St. Bonaventure had hit a great peak as we moved the ball. And then Fordham, I think the ball moved as well as it ever has. And then against, you know, we had our moments where we moved the ball against LaSalle. It was a little different game in terms of the zone and how they played. But I definitely think as we play in February, we have an unselfish team that's thinking about making the proper reads.
Is this the type of team where guys feel feel close enough that they can call each other out? Hey, I was open. Throw me the ball. What are you doing?
They do now.
Okay,
they do now. I think I don't necessarily know if we were as willing to communicate the right way with one another, or go about communicating the right way. You know, sometimes not saying anything is a problem. You festers for a couple games or a couple practices, and the next thing you know, you got a guy that's, you know, a little bit cross-eyed out there. You know, he's not thinking about the right things. And in my estimation, that was LaSalle. I mean, that was at LaSalle, and I think we really hit a head-on after that game, and we've really, really been mindful of no slippage in that area right now.
It's real easy for even fans to observe a team playing offense selfishly, not sharing the ball. But a team could be selfish on defense, too.
Yeah.
And I thought that, you know, and I'll go back to the St. Bonaventure game, that little lull midway through the St. Bonaventure game. I thought that was a selfish defensive effort at that point in time. Explain to the fans what it means to be a selfish defensive player.
Well, I think, you know, defense is all about being connected. You know, defense is all about covering for one another. You know, it's giving great effort, but at the same time giving great cover for your teammates. And I think we use the word finish a lot right now in our huddles and games. We use the word finish in practice a lot. And when they hear the word finish, the one thing they're supposed to do is to finish a game the right way or to finish a possession off on defense. They can't think about themselves. They have to think about doing their job more so than they've ever done it before, because when a team's trying to come back and they're driving the ball or they're shooting threes or they're forcing a comeback on you, that's when you really have to finish the game off on defense. And that's when you can't leave a guy out there on an island with no help. That's when you can't be late in a rotation. That's when you can't not be in proper position off the ball when something's getting ready to happen. So when we say the word finish right now, we're sort of really trying to train our guys mentally to say, okay, I got to do my job. Whether I'm on the ball or whether I'm off the ball, I have to do my job and get tighter and get more connected. And I thought, you know, to be honest with you, the St. Louis game was one of those games where we really had that going for us in terms of we didn't see that lull about 4 minutes where everyone was like, what in the world is going on out there right now? You know, we didn't have that. And I think that's a good sign. As we go through February, we're going to need more of those, you know, 3-4 minute stretches where we don't have, the less you have of those, the better off you are.
I thought that the defense was smothering against St. Louis. And did St. Louis miss some open shots? Yes, because I think when you're going up against a defense that's got you that bottled up, if and when you do get open, That's a tough trigger to pull.
Yeah, I think the big thing in the St. Louis game was so much of what we watched on film was them being very comfortable, them having the ability to have both the ball in their hands and read things, and they also had the ability to deliver the pass on time and catch it with time. We tried to eliminate two of the three on every possession. Can we be as aggressive as we can with their perimeter guys and not let them get the same reads? Can we make their passes a little bit more off target? And then when the shooter caught the ball, could we get him off the line more so than they've been off the line in the past? And I think very few times did we not get there with a challenge shot, or very few times, in my opinion, did the ball ever get delivered on the perfect time. And I think that's what our defense has been built on, is pressure to basketball, help off, recover, use our quickness. And I think, you know, one of the things our guys do a great job of right now is they can really get places, to and from places, two places at once, so to speak, and they cover for one another.
How far has Steve come as far as being able to come out and maybe even help up top, but then also retreat and still cover?
He's doing
cover
a nice job.
Guy.
You know, Steve plays by a different set of rules. You know, we've never had a guy like Steve. So when you have Kendalls and Deshaun's and they're quick, you can really make them double the ball and do a lot of things. Steve's not built like that. So we're trying to focus Steve on being in front of the ball and in front of the rim. And the more you're in front of the ball and the closer the ball gets to the rim, the more dominant as a player you can be. What we don't want Steve to do is, as he starts to come up or teams lift him out of the floor and they want to get those ball screens going, we do not want Steve ever standing still as the ball is being dribbled. We want him retreating all the time, because even if they have to shoot over top of him, most of the time that's a tough challenge two-point shot. Where Steve gets in trouble is when he comes up, he pops the feet down, and next thing you know, that guard gets to his body and there's a contact foul. We try to alleviate the contact by him constantly retreating backwards, and he's done a better job of it. He's not been in any foul trouble here of late, and I think, you know, him coming off the bench has actually been a big help for that. He's getting a couple minutes there to see himself.
All right. Well, hey, it's been a great week behind for the Flyers. The Capera wins to put them into the top 25 at number 24. A chance to maybe catch their breath, and then they're on the road Saturday at George Mason. We're back here next Monday night to talk about it on the Archie Miller Show. On behalf of our engineer producer here, Colton Kisling, and the coach, Archie Miller, I'm Larry Hanskin. Have a great week, everyone, and go Flyers!